to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I know last Sunday Dylan preached for us because I was still coughing quite a bit and I knew I would not make it through the hour. But he did pretty good, even though he was kind of coughing a little bit himself. But he did really good, and I appreciated his message as well. So this is, I did preach this past Wednesday, but this is my first Sunday message of the year. And for this new year, I just want to give us some encouragement from Proverbs chapter 3 as we enter this new year. Hopefully you can look back over the past year and evaluate your walk with the Lord and evaluate how much you did follow the Lord, how much you did trust the Lord, and look to this new year to increase or to improve in those areas. And I want to read verses 1 through 10 of Proverbs chapter 3, and I want to encourage us this morning in trusting and following the Lord in this new year more than what we did in the last year. I'm glad that God is always working in our faith. Our faith is more precious than gold. He's always wanting to stretch our faith. There's times I'm like, Lord, you don't need to stretch my faith. I'm comfortable right where I'm at. But he wants to stretch our faith because there are more things he not only wants to do, but to show you in this new year. He doesn't force his way into our life. He doesn't force us to do what he wants. He allows us to make that choice, and he's always wanting us to make the choice to draw closer to him, to rely more upon him, and to increase our faith by trusting him more. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, if you would. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let mercy and truth forsake, or let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Father, again, we do thank you for the day that you've given us to be gathered together in the Lord's house. Thank you, Father, for every single person that was able to make it this morning. I do pray that you be with those that I know are out of town. There are some that are sick. I pray, Father, that you would just speak to the hearts of your people, wherever they may be this morning, those that are joining through live stream. I just ask, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, drawing us unto you this morning, helping us, Lord, to make decisions for this next year in our relationship with you, to increase and to abound more and more, not only in our Bible reading and in prayer, but, Lord, in following, trusting and following you more and more. Father, there's probably not a single person in the sound of my voice that does not believe in you and does not have the faith that you can do all things. But many times, Father, we lack in truly trusting and truly allowing you to do what you want to do for one reason or another. So, Father, my prayer, Lord, is that you would help us to truly be resolved in our hearts to truly trust you by faith in this new year. Lord, we don't know what the new year entails for us. We don't know what all will happen throughout this year. But one thing, Father, that we are determined to do, and that is to remain faithful to you. And Father, we ask that you'd help us to accomplish that. Thank you, Lord, for giving us of your Spirit to be the teacher, to be the guide, the comforter, and always point us to Christ. Father, would you bless the children in junior church, Lord, just like you did in the Sunday school hour. Open up their hearts and minds to the truth of your word. We ask the word of God would take root in their hearts to bring forth much fruit, the fruit of salvation, the fruit of a genuine, close relationship with you. Father, would you speak to our hearts this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Again, this morning I want to talk to us out of verses 5 and 6 about trusting and following the Lord in this new year. A lot of the things I say will be nothing new because there is nothing new in the Word of God, but it may be something you're reminded of. It may be something that you have forgotten, something that may have fallen by the wayside, and the Lord reminds you to pick that up and become more diligent, more faithful to it as we continue to follow our faithful Lord. I want to look at verses number 5 and 6 this morning, very familiar verses. But if you would, not rebuking anybody, but let me encourage you not to tune out because you know these verses. For me, sometimes I do that because I know the verses when I'm reading. I kind of tune out and I just kind of read it and I move on. But these are verses, obviously, that will remind us of the victory that we can have in this new year, the blessings we can have in this new year, and just even a closer walk. Because never allow yourself to get to a point where you don't desire a closer walk with the Lord. Always desire, because you and I, we don't know everything about the Lord. We haven't experienced everything with the Lord. And the Lord has so much more He wants to do in our life. He wants us to get closer to Him. That's why He's given us the boldness to come into the throne room of grace. You and I can come before the Lord. We don't need some human mediator. We have Jesus Christ as the high priest. We have Him as the mediator between man and God. You and I can go boldly before the throne of grace to get help in time of need. And sometimes, you know what? The help we need is, Lord, would you just clear my mind and help me to just focus on you? Lord, would you just strengthen my heart and help me to trust you more and to follow you by faith, knowing that you're not going to lead me into a ditch? Remember, I've been reading in Matthew as I've started off in Matthew again for the new year, and Jesus, he spoke about the Pharisees, the blind leading the blind, and both of them falling into a ditch because they both don't know the direction they're going. But you and I know the direction we're going because we have the light of Christ in us. We have the Spirit of God in us that walks with us, talks with us, the Lord's voice behind us saying, this is the way, walking in it. And sometimes we have to be encouraged in the things that we already know. Because verse number 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. There's probably not a single person in here who doesn't know that verse and who, you know, can't even quote it. It's a verse that I often quote. It's a verse I often go to. But it's true. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Okay, I know I need to trust in the Lord. But the phrase, the statement, with all thine heart. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we don't trust the Lord with all of our heart. We trust Him with a little bit because sometimes without us realizing it, we equate God to somebody who's done us wrong and we kind of become reserved, right? If someone has done you wrong, you don't want to be vulnerable again. You don't want them to have that advantage and you don't allow yourself to be completely open with them. You're a little reserved. You even kind of hold them at arm's length, so to speak. And yet the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's, you know what, allowing yourself to be vulnerable because God already knows you better than anybody else. He knew you when He was forming you in the womb, and He was forming me in the womb. He knew who we were. He knew what He was going to do in our life. So when it comes to trusting and following the Lord, He gives us this command in verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust is more than just faith. Faith says, I believe God can do anything, but trust says, I will prove that I truly believe in God's faithfulness. All right? Again, we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about our relationship with the Lord and how much we truly do trust Him. Again, I believe that God can do anything. I believe there's nothing God cannot do. He is sovereign. He knows everything. But in order to really put that faith to work, I have to trust by allowing myself to be vulnerable to the Lord, allowing myself to be open to the Lord, and proving that I really do have the faith that God can do anything for me, in the center of his will. And again, it starts with trusting God's word. I believe that God has given us his word. He's given us a lamp unto our feet, a light unto my path, but how much do I trust it? Depends on if I apply it to my life, depends on if I allow the Lord to speak to me through his word. Again, Psalm 18 and verse 30 reminds us, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. He's a buckler. He's that defense. He's that shield. In Proverbs 30 verse 5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. In Psalm 119 verse 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Do I trust the word of God? Do I trust it enough to follow it? Remember, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And there's that argument today among Christians, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. You're right. We're not under the law. I don't have to do anything for salvation. Jesus already accomplished salvation. But Jesus often would say, keep my commandments. Because you know what? It's good for me not to kill somebody because I'm mad at them, right? Though sometimes, you know, the Lord even said, if we even have hatred towards our brother, it's like committing murder, all right? So it's good, all right? No, we're not under the law, we're under grace, but God does want us to apply the word of God to our life. He wants us to trust it enough to use it, all right? Because again, the Bible tells us the way of salvation, does it not? It does. But it also gives us what we need each and every day of our life. Until the day that the Lord Jesus Christ comes and sets everything straight in this world, people will still fight against the truth of God's word. And the devil's behind it. He's been behind it since the beginning, since that moment in the Garden of Eden when he said, yea, hath God said. And the devil has been good over the centuries and over the history of the church to cause division among God's people on translations. But listen, if you're grounded and firmed in the word of God, and I believe that God's given us the King James Bible for the English-speaking people, all right? I believe that God's word is true, it's infallible. But people still fight against it. Well, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this. And I feel sorry because those that want to resist the truth of God's word and not apply God's word to their life and trust it completely, they're missing out on so much. They're missing out on a closer walk with the Lord, and they're missing out on God's wisdom. Because God says in verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and that means trusting completely in his word and his wisdom that comes through his word. Romans 11, 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. The psalmist said in 147 verse 5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Man's wisdom is not infinite. Man's wisdom is not eternal. God's wisdom is eternal. God has all wisdom. Yes, God has given us a brain. Yes, we can think, we can figure things out. God's given us some wisdom, but the greatest wisdom comes from the Lord. The greatest wisdom comes from our Father, the Father of lights, as the Bible tells us. But not only do we have to trust completely with all of our heart in God's word and God's wisdom, but also in God's ways. His ways are higher than our ways because his ways have purpose. You and I can devise our ways for this year. We can have some plans for this year, some things we want to accomplish. There's nothing wrong with that. But we have to keep God in the equation. I cannot accomplish anything without the Lord. And it may be, as we talked about in Sunday school, God never opens that door that I was planning on going through, that I had, you know, plans to accomplish, and God never opens that door, just as he did not open the door to Asia Minor for Paul at a certain point. Because later, he sees a vision of someone saying, come over into Macedonia. God opened up a door in Macedonia. Later he goes into Asia Minor, goes back to that place where he originally wanted to, but he didn't try to kick the door in. He didn't try to go against God's will. He let God be in control of the doors in his life, because Jesus said that the doors he opens, no man can shut, and the doors he shuts, no man can open. It truly is trusting God's ways, and God's ways always have a purpose. Isaiah 55 verse 8 reminds us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." In Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee," as the Lord speaks to Jeremiah, "and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Before Jeremiah even knew God's plan for his life, God had already ordained him from the womb to be a prophet to Israel. What I'm saying is that God already has a plan for your life. And believe me, there's been mistakes made in my life where it was not according to God's plan. God does everything perfectly and right. We still live in a sin-cursed world. There are still evil people that do evil things to good people. It is not God who is the author of confusion or the author of sin, but he is the author of a purpose in your life, and he has a purpose for this new year, and we have to trust that his way has the ways of purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Again, God has a purpose for this new year that he is allowing us to enter in. Some of us will not make it to the end of 2023. Whatever point God decides to call somebody home, may we be found faithfully following and trusting him. Because I understand we're not guaranteed to even make it through today. But as a child of God, as someone who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you are guaranteed a place in heaven. You are guaranteed an eternity with no more sickness, no more death, no more trials, no more struggles, right? You're guaranteed the fullness of the joy of the Lord. But again, his ways are with purpose, and we can trust the Lord's ways, though they do not make sense to us, yet we need to trust with all of our heart. His ways are also of love, and that's why we can trust them. Jesus said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." All because of God's love. That's who he is. God is love, and he came up with a plan of salvation. He came up with the plan to send his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross of Calvary, because his ways are ways of love. And sometimes it may not make sense to us. Sometimes there may be difficulties along the way. But never forget that God does love you. The enemy wants to convince you that God doesn't love you because of difficulties, because of maybe your prayer not being answered the way that you want it answered. I can't count on my hands and toes how many times God did not answer my prayers the way I was asking. But he answered them according to his will, according to his perfect way. God always does what he does in your life because his love for you. If he didn't love you, he would not have died for you. He would not have died for me either. Romans 8:35 reminds us, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I," Paul says, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Too many people are relying upon their emotions and their feelings. "I just don't feel saved. I don't feel loved." Listen, you're not always going to feel saved, because it's not about a feeling. It's about a truth. You've already put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Sometimes you're not going to feel loved. And usually when someone doesn't feel loved, it's because they're not getting what they think they should get. They're not being treated the way they think they should be treated. And we cannot compare God to somebody in our life. Because God is love, and God has shown the ultimate love in the sacrifice on the cross. God did not promise that, you know, all hardships would be taken out of our life, but he did promise he'd walk with us. He did promise that he'd carry us. He did promise, hey, cast your care upon me. God wants us to truly have the fullness of the joy, and the fullness of the joy is in his presence. If we are walking in his presence and we are truly trusting him with all of our heart, no reservations, no doubt whatsoever, even when the temptation comes, Lord, I know you can, but I sure am being tempted not to trust you. Lord, would you help me to get past this temptation? The Lord always gives a way out. He always gives a way out. He always strengthens our love and our resolve for him. But reminding us, we can trust his ways because his ways are with purpose. His ways are of love for us, and nothing can separate us from his love. And his ways are also perfect. All right? I can guarantee you there's been times where I've devised my own way of doing things and it did not turn out right. And there's been times where I've devised my way of doing something. It didn't turn out the way I thought. But then looking at it, I'm like, man, it sure turned out the way God wanted it. And one way is, soon after I got married, I devised a plan to move somewhere I couldn't even point to on the map. I thought, you know what? I have an opportunity to leave Mississippi to go to a state. I have no idea where it's at. The state of Wisconsin. And all my thought was just getting out of Mississippi. Because I'm at a dead end. I'm not going to go anywhere else in the job I'm at. I don't like where we're living. I want to move. And my wife and I, we threw what little belongings we had on her brother's moving truck, and we moved to Wisconsin. And my idea was like, you know what? A fresh start, a new place. Maybe I can, you know, climb the ladder in this company that I'm working for and all these things. And the Lord had a different plan. Because he allowed me to make that choice, but he was guiding my steps. Because as we got to Wisconsin and her brother found an apartment, their apartment was just around the corner from the church we would eventually start attending for 13 years. And every day my wife would drive past that church and she would just feel the Holy Spirit just pulling her to that church. And she'd ask me, can we go? And I'm like, nope. Because I wasn't walking with God. I wasn't trusting God. I condemned the church and said, nah, it looks like a double-wide trailer. I don't want to go there. I would just anything just to discourage her from going, I would say it. Saying is, for time's sake, I won't bore you with more details, but eventually, several years later, we end up going there for various reasons. And as soon as I walked in, we both knew this is where we needed to be. And I got some spiritual help from that pastor, and my life changed. I started serving in the church, holding different positions in the church, and eventually being called in the ministry. What I'm saying is that as a child of God, we may devise our ways, but God's purpose will always come to fruition. Think about the prodigal son who, again, he decides, you know what, I'm going to take my inheritance, I'm going to go live my life how I want. And he was allowed to. And God knew that he'd find himself in the pig pen. And it's in the pig pen that God used the emptiness of his stomach, the emptiness of his spirituality, to awaken him to where he realized I was better off in my father's house. It's a beautiful picture of a child of God who goes wayward, and yet they find themselves realizing, because God opens their heart and minds after they have experienced devastation in their life, that, you know what? I was better off. And the prodigal son went back to the father. What I'm saying is that God's ways are perfect. They're always with purpose because of his love for you and me. Sometimes it may not make sense to us, but God always has a purpose. In Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Again, it says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He's holy because he's perfect. He's sinless. He's sovereign. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God calls us to live a life of perfection. Not sinless, but perfection in trusting him, in following him, allowing him to have his way with us. He says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. He knows we can't be sinless. But he wants our life to exemplify him. He wants us to walk in his ways, trusting his ways, allowing him to have his way with us, allowing him to accomplish his perfect will in our life. Remember the angels, the cherubims up in heaven, as Isaiah records, they cried unto another saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. If God is so holy, you and I can definitely fully trust him with all of our heart. We can truly trust in the Lord with all of our heart because we know he'll never do us wrong. We know he'll never lead us in the wrong direction. We know that he will not allow the enemy to have victory over us. We know that God has a perfect will, a perfect plan for our life because of his love for you and me. But there's a condition to this trusting. In verse 5, the second part says, lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We're all tempted to lean upon our own understanding. We're all tempted to take our understanding above God's direction. Because God does call us to walk by faith and not by sight. It's not blind faith. It's faith in following the Lord and following his ways. Think about this. You and I have something that the disciples did not have, and that's the completed word of God. To truly be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It shows the way of salvation. It shows the way of victory throughout the rest of our life. It shows us how to truly trust the Lord, to follow the Lord, to allow him to have his way with us. And yet the disciples heard the Lord say on that day that he was going to ascend up into heaven and leave them. They had walked with him for 3.5 years. They'd spent some close time with the Lord. They'd seen some great miracles. Their faith had been tested. Their faith had been rebuked. Their faith had been tried. Yet the Lord never deserted them. He kept working on them, kept preparing them for the ministry he was going to give them. And when they heard Jesus say, go ye into all the world, how in the world could they do that? And yet the Lord said, go into Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And they would gather themselves in that upper room and just pray and fast until the day of Pentecost, when they were there praying and fasting, and the Spirit of God would enter into that room and come upon all of them, that they would start speaking in foreign languages for all the people that were there for the festival, all the Jews that were there. And it was noised abroad what was going on, and all the people gathered together. What am I saying? God can do anything. His ways don't make sense to us, and when he asks us to do something, we should not be quick to think that God can't accomplish it. The disciples did not know how it was going to be accomplished. But you know what? When it was accomplished, when it happened, when 3,000 were added to the church on that day because of the power of God upon their life, it emboldened them to do the will of God, to do what God had called them to do, and not to denounce the name of the Lord. Like we talked about in Sunday school, the greatest way you and I can denounce the name of Christ in our life is by not trusting him and by not following him. It'll never change the gift of salvation that's been given, but it will change the relationship we have with God by not fully trusting him with all of my heart. And believe me, we all have excuses we can use. Yeah, but God hasn't done this. I've been asking for this, and this person hasn't changed, and this and this. We can have those excuses. And that's exactly what they are. It's what the devil wants us to focus on instead of focusing on God's faithfulness. God's been faithful from the beginning. From the moment you and I were born and even in the womb, God's been faithful to us. And God will remain to be faithful in this next year, but God does call us to fully trust him with all of our heart. And if we're honest, we did not this past year fully trust him as we're called to trust him without any reservations, without any doubt, but fully trusting with all of our heart. He says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. God says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And the evil is not trusting and following God with a pure heart. Because Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Many will trust in their own heart. Many will say, well, God knows my heart. And he does. That's the scary thing, is that God knows our heart. And the heart is desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17 says, and who can know it? God doesn't want us to follow our heart. He wants our hearts to be given over to him. He wants us to let him change our hearts. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20, you want to talk about not understanding, but eventually faith became sight in Joseph's life. It says in Genesis 50 verse 20, but as for you, as Joseph is talking to his brothers, he says, ye thought evil against me as they plotted to kill him and then they sold him into slavery. He says, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph never lost his hope in God, though he found himself in a pit. Then he found himself being sold into slavery. Then he found himself being lied to and thrown into prison in Egypt. He never lost hope in God. And you see that in the scriptures because everywhere he went, it says that it was recognized the hand of God was upon him. Potiphar recognized the hand of God was upon him, and everything Joseph did was blessed. The warden in the jail recognized the hand of God was upon him, and everything Joseph did was blessed. Therefore, Potiphar put him in charge of his household, in charge of all of his servants. The warden in the prison put him in charge of all the prisoners. Saying that Joseph never lost hope. He didn't understand. He didn't know what God was doing. But eventually, you know what? When the baker and the butler had their dreams in prison, Joseph helped them. He had a desire to help them because God had given him the ability to interpret dreams. And God used it to get Joseph in a prominent position to save not only his family, but all people, as Joseph would interpret Pharaoh's dream. And for 7 years, gather as much food as possible so that nobody would starve during the 7 years of famine. You and I have no idea what God wants to do. But I guarantee you, every one of us have missed out on opportunities that God has wanted to use us for because we neglected to trust him. We leaned upon our own understanding, and God says, don't do that. Fully trust me, because God knows how to get us from point A to point B. Joseph was not going to willingly go to Egypt, so God had to get him to Egypt, and God used the wickedness of his brothers to accomplish his will. That is why Romans 8:28 is so true, and even to this day, there are some people who just don't understand that and they don't see how it applies to things that has happened in their life. Go to Romans 8:28. Because the one thing your enemy wants you to do is not to believe God's word. not to trust God fully, not to seek the scriptures like the Bereans did. The Bereans were commended because they sought the scriptures. They didn't just believe what Paul said, but they took what Paul said, matched it up to scripture, and they believed because it was true. In Romans 8:28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good." Many people stop right there. And they struggle with, how can this work for good? Well, if we read on, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Joseph loved God. But he had people who didn't. He had people that were against him. Again, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. That's still trusting that, you know what? God will use the wickedness of man to accomplish his will. Because he's sovereign. And believe me, I'd rather not be on the receiving end of the wickedness of men. But I'm glad that my God is so sovereign that he can turn it around for good and help me. He can use it for his glory and my good. And I don't understand it, but what I do understand is that we have a God in heaven who's faithful. Again, a God in heaven who does not have thoughts of wickedness or evil towards you. He has thoughts of peace, right? Thoughts of peace to bring things to an expected end, to bring things that benefit us and glorify him. Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. That's fully trusting the Lord that, you know what, my life is in his hands. If he wants to kill me, that's fine. I know that I will still be in his presence for eternity. Lord, I pray that you don't kill me. I pray that you give me some more time, with the family, friends, things like that. But Lord, I trust you that your way is perfect because there is an appointment with death. I mean, unless the rapture happens while I'm still alive, there's an appointment. God has appointed everybody to die. But many of us will not die without Jesus Christ. It's just a door into eternity. Again, how much do we truly trust the Lord? Do I truly trust him so much that I don't lean upon my own understanding? I don't sit there and put my understanding and God's understanding in a balance and think, well, I'm going to lean upon my own understanding. In Exodus chapter 14:13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." As they stood there at the Red Sea, with the Egyptian army enclosing behind them, and the Red Sea in front of them, Moses tells the people to stand still, stop fretting, stop panicking. Just trust the Lord who brought you out of slavery. He delivered you with a mighty hand. He gave you the spoils of Egypt, not to bring you to a place to kill you. And he tells them, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Many times we do find ourselves panicking and just running about, being confused. And God's not the author of confusion. God wants us to fully trust him. And he goes on to say, "See the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Verse 14 and 15 of Exodus, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And it wasn't until they went forward that the Red Sea parted. He didn't part the Red Sea until they went forward, until by faith they just stepped forward. I know he told Moses, "Stretch your rod out," but he told the people to go forward. And they did. Many times God wants us to go forward. All you may see in your life is a brick wall. I don't see how to get through this. I don't see how to go around. And God says, just take the step of faith. Just trust me. Just follow me. And we find that when we do trust him with all of our heart, we do find a completeness with what God is doing. In verse 6, he says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is the completeness of trusting, completely trusting in all our ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds always have to be renewed. Our thoughts always have to be challenged. Our thoughts often have to be changed because they don't match up with the truth of God's word. They don't match up with God's plan for our life. Again, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, completely trusting Christ with no reservations. Again, that's why God says, lean upon thine own understanding. I can convince myself not to do what God wants. I can convince myself that my way is better than God's way. But we have to, by faith, say, Lord, I fully trust you. Again, we're entering in a new year. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Our relationship with God needs a lot of work. And I'm not saying that you don't have a relationship with God, but humanly speaking, I know that we have not arrived to perfection. We need to have that heart that, you know what, I want to get closer to the Lord. I want my trust to grow deeper. I want to follow him without any reservations. I want to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Not only do we need to completely trust the Lord with no reservation, but while we're doing that, we have to keep a single focus. The only way you and I will complete and accomplish what God tells us in these two verses is to have a single focus. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now he's given us the light of Christ. We have the Spirit of the Lord in us. And that single focus is the focus of Christ. Focusing on the author and finisher of our faith. Focusing on the one who is leading us, who's walking with us, and often carrying us. Again, having that focus on the Lord that I know I can accomplish all things through him. Knowing that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Focusing on that single person who is trustworthy. That single person who is faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ. And it always pays off. There's not a single person who doesn't like the payoff of something. Sometimes it's the payoff of just the gratitude that, you know what, you accomplished something. This past summer, I loved the compensation that the garden gave me that I planted. I loved the compensation of the chickens that I have, and they give me those eggs that taste so much better than store-bought eggs. I mean, there was some satisfaction in it. I had to put some work to it. I had to put some work to the garden. I had to put work to raising the chickens, you know, keeping them healthy and keeping them fed. But the reward is so great. And that might be, you know, not a very good comparison, but think about just the reward, the compensation of doing things the way that God says. Having the focus that God tells us to have in his word. Letting our heart fully trust the Lord. And honestly, we cannot say, oh, I fully trust the Lord. Because I guarantee you, if we evaluate this last year, we'll see where we didn't trust him completely. And maybe we didn't follow his plan. And we found ourselves regretting it. Or we found ourselves, you know what, kicking against the pricks. Or finding ourselves struggling even more. And finally, okay, letting the Lord do it and think, you know, why didn't I just let him do it from the beginning? Again, the compensation of the payoff is so much better because it says in the end of verse 6, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, the Lord will accomplish what he wants to in your life, but he doesn't want it to be difficult. He wants us to fully just say, Lord, here am I. I belong to you. Lord, help me not to complain. Help me to fully give myself to you, to fully trust you. Help me, Lord, not to lean upon my own understanding. Help me, Lord, to fully just lean upon your faithfulness and your love for me, because I know that everything you want to do in my life, there is an expected end. There is something you want to accomplish, and it is not just my faith to grow, not just for my trust to be strengthened in you, but for my relationship to be drawn closer to you, for me to get to know you better. Paul talked about knowing the Lord better. We have an opportunity this year to draw closer to the Lord, to let the Lord do his will in our life, whatever it may be. Again, there are delights and blessings when we fully trust the Lord. In Psalm 37, we're reminded the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The man delights in the ways of the Lord. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And in James chapter 1, 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Our way can be blessed this next year if we will fully trust the Lord with all of our heart. And when we are tempted not to trust and we are tempted to doubt, that we say, "Lord, I believe, but Lord, would you help my unbelief? Lord, would you just remove the doubt from my heart, because I fully trust that you can accomplish your will. And Lord, however you want to accomplish it, would you just give me the grace to go through it, whether it's facing somebody that's against me, whether it's going through a situation, because Lord, I know that you want to show yourself great and mighty in my life. I know that you don't want me just to become complacent where I'm at in my spiritual walk, but you want me to move further in my walk with you. You want me to grow closer to you." I dare say that the Lord has a stronger desire for a more intimate relationship than I think sometimes God's people do. I'm not saying you, I'm just saying in general, God's people. God has a stronger desire, because he's the one that died on Calvary. He's the one that willingly laid down his life so we could have a closer relationship with him. The disciples had a relationship. 3.5 years walking with him, sleeping where he slept, being in the storms he was, I mean, everywhere. But you know what? It wasn't until the Spirit of Christ came into them that they had an intimate relationship, a closer relationship with the Lord. And it helped them throughout their life to remain faithful to the Lord. Because remember, Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and he went out and wept bitterly. And I'm so glad that we serve a Savior who always comes to us and always reconciles the relationship. Because he went to Peter. Peter thought, "You know what? It's over. It's done. I did what I said I wouldn't do. The Lord doesn't want to talk to me. The Lord doesn't want to see me." But the Lord proved Peter wrong by coming to the shore of Galilee and spending some quality time with Peter, helping Peter to see that the Lord still loved him and the Lord still wanted to work in his life and the Lord still wanted Peter to follow him. So we don't ever have to doubt how much the Lord loves us or how much the Lord wants to accomplish things in our life. We just have to be willing to let him. We have to allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the Lord and say, "Lord, here am I. I want you to show yourself in my life however you want to do it, because I want to be as close to you as possible. In fact, I want to be so close just like Enoch." I think that'd be great. You remember the account of Enoch? Enoch walked with God. And he was not, because God took him. It was one day he's walking with the Lord. He's spending time with the Lord as he always did. And next thing he knows, he's not walking on this earth anymore. And one day that's going to happen. That's something to look forward to. That one day we will be in the presence with the Lord. But we have the greatest opportunity right now to have that close, intimate relationship as we walk in this dark, sin-cursed world. As we allow the light of Christ to shine through us, as we see God accomplishing things in our own life because we are 100% wholeheartedly trusting and following him every day.